my God, you guys are my favorite.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The one and only
Rich Eisen.
I know what I'm talking about. That's the headline.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Magic Johnson, he kind of summed it all up for me. Tonight, we learn the world champion Denver Nuggets are going to be very tough to beat in the NBA playoffs.
Breaking news, you learned it here
in the
first.
Playoffs, by the way.
Magic's already jumping ahead to late April.
Today's guests, CEO and co-founder of SMAC, Constance Schwartz-Marini, Pro Football Hall of Famer Bill Cowher. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We are live in Los Angeles, California, right here for everyone to take this show in. I am literally sitting down in my chair, fresh back from Los Angeles International Airport from New York City. I just flew into Los Angeles, and boy, are my arms tired. Hey, now. That's exactly why.
Hey!
There's some hardware on the table.
We're not going to apologize for winning.
Thank you very much.
There it is.
Thank you very much, Coach Tomlin. As a matter of fact, Coach Tomlin's predecessor, Bill Cowher's, on this show in hour number three.
Yes.
How about that?
Wait, Rich, that's great and all, but did Seton Hall win?
Seton Hall did not win.
Yes, we did.
No, you didn't.
We did, too.
Did you? I don't 100%. Care. Listen. I just want to start this show, if you don't mind. With a moment for us, and that's not Craig Kilborn phrase. It really is for all of us, right here for our radio audience, those who are listening on this Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. On the desk is a Marconi Award from NAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, for the Network Syndicated Personality of the Year for yours truly. And what I have here on the desk is a testament to the hard work of everybody here on this program. You, Chris Brockman, you, DJ Mikey Diaz and D's Nuts, and Jay Felly, who sits in that chair,
yes.
You, TJ Jefferson. This is also a way of me introducing everybody on the show to start this program. And everyone that's currently listening, watching in the back, Mike Hoskins and, Don Bowie, former coordinating producer of this show, who's now sitting in the director's chair along with our friend John Monaco, and then RJ Herrera in the back and Adam Chudwin in the back, Liz Wailed, Sarah Jackson, everyone at home, Sean Mitchell and Jordan Shero and Ken Tulo and D'Lo occasionally
D'Lo.
Going in and sitting in for us. Everybody who works on this program, I thank all of you for sticking with me and us, and the fact that, wow, I'm looking at this right here. And our burgeoning podcast business that we have as well. Susie Schuster was sitting in this chair. Amy Trask, us, Chris Brockman, you, TJ, got something coming in the shoot. We keep talking about it. We're threatening to do it. We're going to do it. We'll talk about that when it actually comes to fruition. I just want to thank everybody, and especially the folks at Westwood One for sticking with me and us, and then all of you who are going to hopefully call in at 844-204-RICH being the number to dial here. It's your listenership, it's your fandom, if you will, of this program that keeps me energized to keep coming back to work and, like, say, wake up at the ass crack of dawn and fly on a plane to get back here just in time. I mean, Chris Berman literally would even say that's too late to sit in the chair right before I truly was putting my earpieces in as we started the program. But anyway, I just hate missing this program, and I'm always here, thrilled to be here for you, and I can't believe that this award's sitting on the desk.
I believe it.
I believe it too, Rich.
Nice.
Congrats.
I'm a radio guy, all right?
Hey.
I'm a radio man.
Look at you.
Cut my ear while I talk.
He literally did walk in just as the show was starting, so really haven't had a chance to properly say congratulations to you. And this is
appreciate it. Thank you.
It was so awesome to see you on that, man.
Appreciate you saying that.
Yeah.
Thank you to everybody. So let me place this aside, if you don't mind.
I'll stun on them top a little
of,
bit, Rich.
On top of Susie's notes from yesterday. let's start with the news that I was hearing and reading about just as I was getting set for the Marconi Awards last night. And that is Brock Purdy being concussed at the end of the Monday Night Football game.
Yeah.
And, his final two possessions of the night ended in interceptions. And the last one was just an airmail that went right to the Minnesota Vikings. And it's the type of mistake we have not seen Brock Purdy make, and this is not an excuse that I'm making for somebody who has been accused. I've been accused of treating him like one of my own children. Although he didn't zoom in with Susie yesterday trying to make heads or tails of you throwing the NBA cast of Cocoon 4 at him for Jason Tatum. So
two of the top 10 players in NBA history.
Okay, got it.
All right.
Did you like that one? And you're saying I'll flip you Porzingis, who only dominated New York City last night. When I got back to my hotel room, I was seeing if he was climbing the Empire State Building. Holy crap.
Yeah, Rich, I have to rescind that.
You know?
75 and 7. I'm just saying.
Okay, very good.
I mean,
all right.
Calm down, everybody.
Sounds good. So Brock Purdy was concussed, and it's one of those things where it's like, where did he get concussed? On what play did he get concussed? I didn't see him get sacked, right? And then I saw the video. I think Florio popped it on at Pro Football Talk, which is a must follow for everyone if you don't follow him. And boy, did he get just smoked.
He took a shot.
Like Jordan Hicks might get suspended for that, or might get some sort of a fine for that sort of just jumping into the pile head first, like catapulted the crown of his helmet right in the direction of Brock. Or just look, these plays, that's why brotherly shove is a potentially dangerous play. That's why, you know, these quarterback sneaks. Once upon a time, Patrick Mahomes had his kneecap turned to the side of his leg. Mm-hmm. Well, at any rate, so his bell gets completely rung.
Yeah, he got blasted.
And it appears that Brock Purdy will not be able to go on Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals. Kyle Shanahan, the head coach of the 49ers, had this to say on the subject, man.
Started getting symptoms on the plane. So we found that out when we landed. We were all pretty asleep, but then he got all checked up today and yesterday, and now he's in the protocol.
Does he have enough time to clear protocol in order to be available for the game on Sunday?
Oh, yeah, he does have enough time. Just got to go through the process.
When you watch the film, where do you think he hurt himself? Quarterback sneaks, maybe?
Possibly. We don't know for sure because he didn't start getting until the plane, so I don't know exactly, but I'd probably guess that.
Yeah, and it was. I mean, there's no question about it if you see the video. And, he may have time to clear the process if it was last year or the year before. There's been no announcement from the league, but I think there's been an apparent change in the concussion protocol. Not a single soul who has entered the concussion protocol this year has been able to come back the very exact week in which he went in or was concussed. That's not happened yet. The last one was Kenny Pickett last year, 2022. He got concussed week 6. He played week 7. That is the last guy in the NFL. So it's over a full year's worth of regular season games since somebody got concussed and was able to make it out of protocol in order to start. So it's Sam Darnold. I would be stunned if it's not Sam Darnold versus Joe Burrow and the Bengals, who are playing their best football of the year, which, to be honest, straight up isn't saying a lot because their previous football of the year was un-Burrow Bengals-like. But they still, you know, went into their bye week winning 2 in a row, and Burrow says he's 100%, and he does come out of this bye week at 3-3, and they are now apparently clear, it feels, in Burrow's mind, of the preseason calf strain that put them behind the proverbial eight ball, from which they now emerge from their bye week at 3-3, taking on a Niners team that's lost 2 in a row for the first time since week 6 and 7 of last year, the last time a player went into the concussion protocol 1 week, came out the very next week to play. So it seems like it's going to be Sam Darnold and Chris Brockman.
Rich Eisen.
If I could reopen our Overreaction Monday podcast and redo it, or just the end of it, for those who haven't consumed the Overreaction Monday podcast, first of all, why not? Secondly, I don't mean to be aggressive. I've got a Marconi here. I'm feeling my oats. Secondly, all right? Secondly, we end the podcast by predicting what we're going to be overreacting to as a National Football League media and fan populace after the upcoming week's games. If I could reopen that podcast and provide a new prediction of what we're going to overreact to, I would say the following.
Yep.
Sam Darnold should be the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers moving forward. I mean, I'm telling y'all.
Sam Darnold runs the offense just as good as Brock Purdy.
Well, I mean, that's not strong enough.
Not strong enough?
Because I think we can all assume he will. Well, I think we can all assume that.
I assume that just, he's going to light it up.
I assume that he's going to perform enough for the 49ers to have a good shot at, if I can continue to keep couching this, of snapping their two-game losing streak.
And Brock Purdy's had two bad games in a row. And Sam Darnold comes out, 303 tutties, and then bam, suddenly.
Purdy, again, if Jake Moody had only kicked that 41-yard field goal to beat the Browns, this would be less of a frying pan into fire situation.
Yeah, but he didn't.
But he didn't. I know. I get it. But is anybody doubting that Sam Darnold's going to come out of the box on Sunday looking like he's been in this offense his entire life? Is there any...
Maybe
he won't. Is anyone doubting? Is that what you're asking?
I am asking that.
Maybe he won't.
What would give you any reason to believe he's going to come out in...
Everything that I see with my own two eyes and know what always happens with this team. Okay. You know?
Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he's going to come out and perform well. And Debo won't be there. That won't be helpful for him. But McCaffrey will be there, and the Bengals are going to have their hands full. I know everybody's thinking, oh, it's Sam Darnold. Oh, they've lost two in a row. Oh, they don't have Debo. Oh, Trent Williams is banged up.
That sounds like a recipe for disaster.
No, I know. I will take the other side. And I might go down with this ship. And it's kind of funny because I've been, you know, I say the Bengals we're going to win the AFC North, and I do like being right.
Don't we all?
Okay. But that will be my prediction. Darnold plays well. 49ers. Would you take the Bengals if you were sitting on the NFL Game Day morning set, as I will have to do in 3 days? Would you take the Bengals on Sunday morning?
Yeah, I think so. If you want to gain some ground and maybe...
I'm already in first place. So
Well, then you have picks to play with. So, okay. Yeah, I would take the Bengals.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Off a bye, playing well. Burrow coming back strong.
Sure.
Looks good the last couple weeks.
Okay. Would you take the Bengals? You're wearing kind of their colorful hat right now.
Absolutely.
All right. I'll take the other side. And when I stroll on here on Monday, and we're on the air on Monday, I would be stunned if the question isn't, well, maybe Darnold's better. You know? Maybe Darnold's the guy.
So are we still overreacting, or is this like...
No. I'm telling you what everyone is going to overreact to.
Okay, gotcha.
In advance. I'm putting it out there.
What if everyone...
If we could reopen that podcast, that's what's going... I am very confident that Darnold, certainly with a...
Is this a Jets, thing? You're just trying to manifest good things
for
Sam Darnold.
This has nothing to do with the Jets. Okay. I've got my own Jets problems. Okay. I've got my own Michigan problems. I've got my own... I mean, my NFL world is now suddenly less intense than my college football world right now. You know?
You ain't got no problems.
Hear me out.
Okay.
Darnold balls.
Yeah.
Gets traded to the Jets.
Stop it.
And then he takes him to the playoffs.
See, now you're just trolling. Maybe Darnold balls and you pick him up. Maybe you take him. Then suddenly you unwrap Sam Darnold in Germany against the Colts. How about that?
I mean, Mac's coming off his best game.
See, he's just trolling.
What are we doing?
Seeing ghosts.
Yeah, I don't think that Darnold's showing up on Sunday. That's what I'm saying.
This may be the last chance he gets in the NFL to be a starter, to be honest.
Well, I mean, this is why he's there. And this is why Lance is on the sideline in Dallas. For this start, for starts like this, they were much more comfortable. Clearly, when they traded the quarterback, who they traded so much capital for to go all the way up and draft, and they flipped him to Dallas for a fifth. Clearly, they thought Darnold was better suited for this Sunday. And we'll see why. We'll see why. At any rate, that's my two cents on the subject matter. Two things. One, has the NFL, without an announcement, essentially made an announcement that if you are concussed 1 week, we won't see it for another?
Seems like it.
I mean, Sauce Gardner last week, before the Eagles game, was like, I feel great. And I guess the...
Jimmy Garoppolo.
The proxies on behalf of the league and the Players Association are like, yeah, no. And that means we won't see Purdy, which means we'll see Sam Darnold, and I would proffer to say he's going to be exactly what the Niners hoped him to be, and we'll come on the air on Monday, and the overreaction will be, it should be Darnold's gig, not Purdy's, because that's the way this world goes, and I will love when I'm right. And if I'm wrong, I will just say I was wrong. Look at my Marconi anyway.
Stun on him.
Is that wrong? Stun him. Like this is a jumbotron called the Rich Eisen Show.
It's hard to be humble.
Well, I'm stunting.
I can feel it.
Thank you. And thanks to everyone again in the studio, in the home studios of the Rich Eisen Show, and, of course, wherever you're taking in this program, also on the Roku channel, which is free on all Roku devices, select Samsung Smart TV, Amazon Fire TV. The Roku app and the RokuChannel.com.
Rich, this show was your first foray in the radio, right?
I used to sit in for my first foray into radio was, well, we'll talk about that later. Yeah. I want to take a break here. I've got a top five list. I think I'm going to do my top five today, Hoskins. We're having a production meeting right here live on the air since I was flying in. I've got my top five most intriguing games I'm looking forward to because we got a full show tomorrow. Let's get that in everyone's ear gate and eye gate, to use the Michael Irvin phrase today. Constance Schwartz Marini, a longtime friend, and you might have heard her name. She runs Smack Entertainment, and you definitely see the fruits of her very hard work behind the scenes. On behalf of clients like Michael Strahan, who's only become, you know, the Dick Clark of his generation. And then Deion Sanders, she's the one who kind of said to Deion, maybe you want to coach. And so many more folks that you whose work you enjoy. And with Deion pulling into town Saturday to take on UCLA, she's in town. So she's going to be sitting in the guest chair first in hour number two. And then there's your calls at 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. I'm going to hydrate. I don't want to pull anything. We're back on the Rich Eisen Show in a moment. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. Or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items, from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store, and use my code EISEN. All right, back here on the show, I got to be straight up with you in the speech and the acceptance. I didn't write anything out. I'm 0 for 7 in Emmys, so I didn't write anything out. I'm like, I'm not going to do anything like
so
that.
So what was the category? Talk us through this.
It's called Network Syndicated Personality of the
Year. Okay, who is in there with you?
There were a bunch of hardworking individuals from around the United States who were not in the sports talk business.
Okay, so you were the
I was the only one, oh, correct.
That's even more impressive, man.
Well, I mean, look. I'm just so honored to be, I mean, having one of these before an Emmy just means a lot because, you know, we work really hard coming here every day, yeah. All of us. But anyway, so I'll be straight up with you. So I thanked everyone that was there for Westwood One, Susie, and then Jerry Silbowitz, Agents to the Stars, who was there. Well, and Jerry, I got off the stage. I'll swear to you, shoot you straight. I'm like, I did not say anything about my team. And they were like, I was gutted to the point where they're like, do you want to go back on stage? And if you don't mind, I just basically said, it's just as important to me that these people get out of here before 9 o'clock. Because you know how I feel. You know how we all feel, right?
Yeah, running time.
So I immediately immediately went on Instagram and I'm like, and I'll say something on the show as well. Because I do love all you folks. And I put this up there.
Great
you know,
photo.
Jerry took it. No photo credit.
Oh, nice.
And, I apologize to you. I'm just shooting you straight up.
We got you.
Okay.
Rich. Come on.
And I know you know how I feel as well. And then here's my favorite response that I saw amongst all the responses to this Instagram post. Did Del Tufo win the Macaroni Award? Ben Hine.
Whoever you are, Ben, well
Ben
done.
Ben Hine underscore. Don't forget the underscore.
Well done.
Did you win the Macaroni Award? Now, I'm hoping that that has to do with the pasta
the
conversation
pasta
that you
from
guys
yesterday.
Own.
I mean, I got to think so.
Yes.
We forgot macaroni and cheese.
So I guess the answer is the answer and spaghetti and meatballs. By the way, I'm like walking around and my phone is blowing up with you guys forgetting pasta dishes. I'm like, I'm out of the chair. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Again, I got back to my hotel. It's in Midtown Manhattan in Times Square. Look out the window, and you can see the Empire State Building. It was lit up Knicks colors.
Oh, I thought it was. Oh.
No, it was.
Knicks colors.
Knicks colors, as was Madison Square Garden. Still, when I drove past the garden this morning on the way to
34th and 8th, baby.
Yeah, on the way to the Midtown Tunnel to get out to JFK, it 3:45 in the morning. But interestingly enough, the Empire State Building turned the Knicks lights off. Wow. When I opened the window, I'm like, there are the Knicks lights. No, because I was going to take a picture of it to show here today to lead off our NBA conversation. But I guess, was that a Celtics thing? Was that a Porzingis thing? What was it?
They should have lit it up green. The big man was back.
Dude.
Oh, baby.
Like, if that's the Porzingis
77,
you get.
77-5.
In all seriousness, if that's the Porzingis you get.
If honestly, if we can get 65 games of that from Porzingis all season, one seed, NBA Finals, here we come.
One seed, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Jaylen Brown didn't exactly light it up.
Exactly.
Okay. Look at that. 38 and 4 blocks. Jeez. Yeah, man.
15 in the first, kind of a slow third quarter, and he really took over. He scored 9 straight in the fourth at one point, including a huge three to put him up for good. Great. Couldn't have dreamed of a better debut for the big fella.
In New York.
He's wearing number 8. Antoine Walker's old number. I need him to wiggle out there. At New York, they were booing him in pregame. How do you like me now?
Dude, that was great.
It was great.
And I kind of sensed as I was, again, coming back from the awards right around the area that the Knicks hadn't won because there weren't Knicks fans all over the street celebrating like they won the NBA championship like last year's home opener. Little different vibe, but
they hung tough. Looked like it was going to be a blowout at halftime, and you know they played great.
Jalen Brunson is just one of my favorites. Quickly had a good game too.
Quickly was nice.
I might have to start playing him in our fantasy league. I didn't play him because I thought he's going to sit behind Brunson, but maybe this is a new IQ that can actually play significant minutes. He played 28 minutes last night, so there's that. I cannot, as we continue our NBA conversation here, 844-204-RICH, number to dial if you want to have a conversation today. I cannot show the exchange amongst our fantasy text chain last night when Chris Brockman pointed out to the individual who had a chance to draft Luka Doncic in our league. That's also me. I passed on him, too, for Giannis.
A lot of people did.
But for some reason, you just decided to send it in his direction on our text exchange.
You had him last year.
Right, but he had Embiid. He had the second overall pick, and he took Embiid.
Took Embiid instead.
So it's kind of dicey that you would even assume.
You guys keep talking about Embiid like he's a bum.
No, I know that. And we're going to see him finally. He and Giannis
Embiid
do finally get on the court tonight.
30-point triple-doubles.
That's all right. We'll get points for triple-doubles.
That is so funny. That you decide out of everyone, because I passed on him. Adam Chudwin passed on him.
He went sixth.
Cooper
passed on him.
Cooper took Tatum.
Right.
Had a nice night.
Right. So, and then.
Smitch got him at sixth.
And then and you find his direction, like say something like when you don't take Luka, but you take Embiid or something like that.
Imagine
in the draft.
Taking Embiid over Luka.
Right. That's what you're saying. And then you responded like, you know, Luka went six, and then you dropped a D word on him, which is you don't work blue ever, you know. And so
here's the deal: when it comes to like trash talking, I'm with it. Like I'm not the right person to come at.
But how about Luka? He comes out of the box. What a terrible way that season ended for Dallas last year. Terrible when they still have a chance to make the playoffs. One of those dumb and dumber outside chances, and then they just. DNP him. They Keyshawn him without, you know, sending him completely home for good.
DNPCD.
I mean, what a great way for them to come out 33-13-10 in the Smitchapalooza from our fantasy league, because he also, in the second round, went and got Victor Wembanyama. So it's kind of neat how things work out. The baseball ALCS was Texas versus Texas, and this NBA game is Texas versus Texas.
Very fun game last night.
Well, I mean, Wembanyama is just going to be a must-watch because various things. The hype. And then, let's just say this. He stands out on a screen. You know, you could see where he is on the court.
He's gigantic.
I mean, absolutely.
You know?
He's easy to pick out.
You know, 15-5. Two steals with just a one block. So,
got that early.
It's an interesting.
He only played 23 minutes.
Yeah. They're just going to work him in.
Yeah.
Well, he got in foul
trouble.
Look at
him just shooting over everybody. Like, you know, if you're a guard and you're trying to, you know, jump out at him on the perimeter, like, forget it.
He's never going to get a shot blocked.
Rich, I was telling Chris this pregame or pre-show, there was two plays where Wemby contested a three-pointer and he was in the key. When he jumped at the person shooting the three, and he still kind of got in the face. He's in the key.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you should not be that long and be able to jump that far.
See, now, if this was the if this was the NFL, it would be, is Wembanyama, you know, really going to dominate this league? Right. You know,
well, did the Knicks have a whole week?
Did the Knicks have it? Well,
we'd have a whole week.
We'd have a whole week
until
he did it again.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and then tonight it would be like, who's the MVP, right?
Yeah.
Giannis or Embiid.
Yeah.
Because it's been 2 days since Jokic played.
And we forgot about that already. Like, Denver,
should
where?
We have a segment like if the NBA was the NFL?
Sure, like NBA, you know, hot
where we just overreact to it like there's not another game coming. Although after tonight, the Bucks and Sixers don't play again until Sunday. You know, we don't want to tax them. It's only been a whole offseason.
Yeah, you guys chill. Let everyone else in the league get our points.
Oh, it's not a fantasy thing. It's just an interesting thing. But just a fun opening night.
Fun couple
what
days.
What else stands out? What else stands out to you guys on this front here?
Clippers did their thing.
Clippers. I think that's kind of what we expected out of Portland. Kind of they're going to be
young.
They're going to be young. They're going to have moments, but they're going to probably lose more games than they win. And Clippers really showed out, though. That was a really strong start for them, TJ. Yeah,
and they didn't have Terrence Mann out there either.
Yeah.
No.
Paul George, great
PG,
game.
27, Kawhi 23.
Donovan Mitchell had a game winner last night. He's doing Donovan Mitchell things.
How about Harrison Barnes putting up 33 on the Jazz?
Right, he had 27 in the first half, and you're like, whoa, are we going to have 40 out of the gate already?
Light the beam!
Right? They're back. Kings.
The Pacers put up 143 yesterday.
That game was wild.
Over the Wizards.
Is Zion the hold on a second. Is Zion,
I have no idea what you're gonna say, but it's probably right.
If Zion was a Russian nest egg piece,
okay,
would he be the outermost piece or would he just be the innermost piece, just the largest version of that.
No, I think he's probably
he's just
the second. Like, he's not Oliver Miller, right?
Right.
So
where is he?
But he's jacked. So he's either the second or the. Oh, he had some alley-oops last night, TJ. Yeah. My God.
Someone on social media said he was fat.
But he look fat, kind of.
He doesn't look... Are you kidding me? Like, we all should look that fat.
He looks like swole fat.
No, he looks like a dude.
But he still has the hops, man.
Who's incredibly athletic and built like a D-end.
Yeah, that's going to be a good team.
How about this team? Here's your higher registered team for the NBA.
Okay.
I'm just going to call it right here.
Okay.
Oklahoma City Thunder might do some things.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? Like, that's your higher register out there in the West.
Well, we saw Shea kind of had the breakout.
He got 31-10. I mean,
he was first team All NBA last year.
Josh Giddey.
Yeah.
I mean, Chet Holmgren's coming back.
Yep.
I mean, just look out for them in the West. Certainly with Ja Morant out for the first 25 games. Should I keep going?
I'm with it. They have a real good chance to be a top four team in the West.
You know,
get the
home
court.
We're all talking about, you know, the Suns and the two LA teams and the defending champs.
I know everybody loves Luka and Giannis and Embiid and Jokic for MVP, but, you know, low-key MVP, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, man.
Well, after one game, I called Devin Booker.
Devin, D-Book. Look, we've already forgotten about the Tuesday games.
Oh, forget that. I don't even remember that.
Well, Suns-Lakers tonight, Rich.
Oh, then let's talk about it. See what I'm saying? Like, if this was the NFL.
First time we get KD versus LeBron in 5 years, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. Is that right?
Because Kevin Durant's been hurt.
And then you got the Pacers putting up $143.
Yeah,
and then Rick Carlisle gets himself apparently a contract
extension.
Yeah, well, all right, we're off and running here, man. The Magic.
We're off and running.
That's the Rockets are going to have one of those seasons, right?
Yep, fact.
And how about the Cavs took care of business, something we'll talk about with Myles Garrett, the new minority owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cam Thomas doing his thing again for the Nets. Dude, is that guy just going to be, like, lighting it up all the time? Like,
I saw
last
a crazy
year?
Stat. He
Let's hope
he
so,
because
I picked him up.
Nice.
He has more 30-point games for the Nets than, like, anyone in the last 2 years or something.
Heat with a one-point win over the Pistons. All right.
You guys mentioned.
Fun first big night in the NBA.
It was fun. It really was.
So we got that going for us.
Rich, let's go to the phone line real quick. Del Tufo, take this.
Okay. What are we doing?
Publicist to the Stars.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. There's Zach. What do you got,
What's
Zach?
Happening, buddy?
Rich, I wanted to call you and congratulate you on your award.
Thank you.
I wasn't able to get to you before you got to the office, and I wanted to be amongst the many to congratulate you.
Thank you. That's what a good publicist should do, is call into the show of somebody like myself and tell me how great I am. I appreciate that.
Wow.
I also want to speak about...
Lincoln Riley? You want to, while you got this floor here, you want to carp on Lincoln Riley? What do you got?
I would like to talk about how great USC is. Can we talk about that for a few minutes? I know it's basketball talk.
It's fine. I mean, it's college football season, too. What do you got in your mind, Zach?
So here's what it is, Rich. I mean, this is the greatest year ever, because now he's doing the thing where he's hiding again. He can't come to practice. He's not feeling well. Did you know that the offensive genius that is Lincoln Riley in his last four games since they started playing real competition, that SC has been outscored 82-60 in the second half. And two of those touchdowns, by the way, one was a pick six and the other was a 6-yard drive.
Mm-hmm.
So their offense is averaging 5.5 points a quarter with the offensive genius that is Lincoln Riley.
That
is fantastic.
I know this is, by the way, if we're all quiet right now, this is an axe grinding all the way from Norman, Oklahoma, to the Valley, where Zach is calling in, son of Mal from the Valley, calling in right now.
Listen, I believe I called you when he left, and I was like, listen, this is the greatest thing for Oklahoma. Maybe, you know, we can be SEC ready. We can actually have a chance at the guy. You know, anytime you lose a guy who gets outscored in the Big 12, 131-101 over the course of a season, who can't make a defensive adjustment, play defense. And, oh, by the way, Rich, do you know the year that OU held Joe Burrow to 7 touchdown passes in the first half, that they rewarded Alex Grinch with a raise, a 10% raise
Listen
after
to this
that?
This guy. Exactly. How about him utilizing my Marconi win to call up as an excuse to just rip the shreds out of it, just grind his axe?
I love it. Keep going.
I'm not even worried.
We're here for the spike.
This is just in my soul. It's in my soul. But more importantly, I am very, very
proud
for you.
Thank you.
Done a great job. And,
thanks, bud.
Keep up the great work.
Run tell that, as they say in your business. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it. There's my boy, Zach Rosenfield.
I'll take my answer off air.
Publicist of the stars. I have no answer. There's no retort. I will just say this, too. And thanks for the call, Zach. Appreciate it, brother. The drip, 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 drip involving my alma mater does not stop dripping. I mean, whoever is out there orchestrating this, because it seems like there's some form of orchestration here, has been brilliant in tarring and feathering the University of Michigan football program. And now you can make the case they did it to themselves. If this is in fact happening, if this is all that we're reading about with this guy writing his manifesto, was allowed anywhere near this Schembechler Hall or this program. And what? It is just insane. Speaking on behalf of all of my friends, colleagues, and fellow alums, we're just texting one another, freaking out. There's just no other way to put it. I will always shoot you straight on this program, freaking out. And then you read it in the Washington Post that, did you read this latest in the Washington Post?
What's that?
That this all comes from an outside the University of Michigan firm knocked on the NCAA's door and said, hey, we've got all this video and data from Michigan computers and how this guy was uploading videos that he was having his minions apparently take via cell phone camera of the opposing sideline, buying tickets, cost this much. There's a list of teams that they were going to visit this year to do it this year. And the outside firm basically told the NCAA, we have something we'd like to meet. And it's just like, who's the outside firm? Which the Washington Post did not ask that follow-up question or report on it. Who hired an outside firm? Or is it something to do with the assistant coach that left the school or got fired and his laptop was involved in something, and an outside firm was looking at that and they go on the laptop and find all this stuff and then volunteer to reach out to the NCAA about other things that they found? Or who hired the firm? Who is this person or group of people? And then how do they get internal Michigan numbers? Or is it just this lone wolf dude and Jim didn't know anything about it, like he said, and Michigan can't say anything about it because they haven't been officially charged with anything? There's nothing to respond to except the drip, drip, drip that comes out. And again, I just sit there and I read all this stuff and I'm shaking my head and I'm like, why? With all of these talented kids that I saw without this system in place, ripped out root and branch prior to the Michigan State game, destroyed them in a way that my alma mater hasn't destroyed this team, like dominated, with a kid who is 1,000,000% talented enough to win the Heisman Trophy on his own. I don't get it. Nor do anybody in my circle, and we're all like talking to each other. It's like a therapy group.
Boy, you don't get what? That they would attempt something like this at all? What do you mean? I mean, college football teams are always looking for an edge. Anyone in business is looking for an edge. I mean, just look back to Watergate. But Richard Nixon was going to win 49-1, and he still did all this illegal stuff. So
right, but I don't want to have my school equated with what Richard Nixon did
of course
in the
not.
70s.
Of course not, but it can't surprise you that if something like this is going on. The Astros were looking for any type of edge. They were the best team in baseball that year. They were looking for any edge possible.
I don't want my school associated with anything like that, and I would love to hear some pushback, but I understand why there isn't any pushback, because there's been nothing put on their table like, this is exactly what you're accused of. And the only answer, the only retort that can be had right now by the University of Michigan football program is to go out without this guy and his Michigan manifesto that he apparently wrote thinking he would run the program one day. Okay.
That's a different level.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's just like, so. What is happening behind the scenes? What is real? What is not? We don't know. We're just reading all this stuff and just texting one another, okay, is this real? Is this possible? What is happening? And hopefully we'll get our answers on this front at some point. But the only answer is to go out and absolutely obliterate the opposition. And if anybody's out there, oh, there's an asterisk here. That, well, the guy who apparently was doing all this stuff that supposedly helped everybody, because all this stuff is, and again, I know I'll be accused of being a homer, but this is, you know, this is my team, so understand where it's coming from in that respect. But I shoot you straight. This is how I feel. Like, forget about, you know, the touchdowns Michigan still gave up. To Deion's point, you still have to stop it. Yeah. Forget about the touchdowns Michigan scored on offense. And again, as Todd Blackledge said earlier, this stuff benefits a defense in a way when an offense in the league, so many times in college football, they go to the line, then they turn, and they get the sign from the sideline about getting in the right play. And that's when Michigan can get your signs and get your team in a better play to stop the other one. So now that that's all gone, you know, forget about the Donovan Edwards 80-yard scores. Forget about all those. Those don't matter. That gets taken away by the cheating. So the only answer is, because this has been ripped out root and branch, is to destroy Purdue, go into Penn State, punk them, go into Maryland and say, yeah, this whole business of trap game, trap this. Every game is a trap game for us now, because you think we're trapped in the world of we can't do it anymore because we were cheating that whole two-year stretch when we didn't lose a Big Ten game. Go into Maryland, destroy them, and have Ohio State come in and destroy them too. Because you know all of these schools have changed up their signs and you got a month now to prepare to change up your signs. Destroy them too. Go to the Big Ten championship game, destroy them, then win two more, go 15-0, and then, you know, the inevitable that everybody thinks right now is that Harbaugh is going to go to the NFL anyway. As I saw a report on, the Michigan blog activity, that is a last dance type feel going on at Michigan. Somebody from inside the program saying, yeah, like this is it.
But what happened? Didn't you say he was close to an extension?
This was. Like, yeah. Until it came out. But again, the reason why it came out, it's not like the NCAA caught wind of it and like started opening an investigation. There's an outside firm according to the Washington Post, went to the NCAA and said, we need to meet. Who's the outside firm? Who paid for the outside firm? Why was the outside firm looking into this in the first place?
It's like a Tom Clancy novel.
Right? Well, I mean, honestly, like what is it? And there are no answers, and I'm shoot you straight. It is a therapy session with every single Michigan fan that I know. We're all hoping that there's going to be a moment where, yeah, it's not as bad as it sounds, or we're on pins and needles that, yeah, this is all a fact. All of it's truthful. None of it's an axe being grinded from an outside source that hired an independent firm. And Michigan can't say anything, or doesn't. And the only, you know, there's a lot of 30s for this 30 that I'm interested in right now. We will take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on The Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
All right. You guys, you want to handle this because Taylor's not feeling well. She's home.
Oh, okay.
And Susie has just asked me for the Disney Plus login. So that means nice. This is important business.
Nice.
Hope Taylor feels better.
I know.
What is she dialing up today, you think?
I have no earthly idea, but, you know, she's on the Roku platform right now. She must be on one of the TVs that just got a new Roku thing in there. Yep. So,
well, we heard this yesterday.
Let me text it. Go ahead.
When we were talking to Cooper, he was yes, we were on our way to school. He was load managing yesterday.
I know. I watched the segment live, by the way. It was just, come on.
Well, they were going to school yesterday, and then he said Taylor started to get a headache, and then they turned around and went home. So, so we knew this was brewing. With T-Money.
She's all right.
It's just
like one of those things because we're considerate people. We're not going to send our child to school if she's less than.
No,
so.
I mean, look, school is the thing you realize as you get older is that school is kind of dumb.
It is.
And like you don't have to go every day and pay attention as much as you do. Don't try as hard in school, kids. It doesn't really matter.
No thing here is now. I
would hope no child that heard that takes that.
The issue is here.
But I'm right. But I'm right. I mean,
don't try
as hard as you think you need to. Just get by, get on to the next level. Yeah. Like, life is more about experiences and picking up, you know, learning things along the way that you don't learn out of a textbook.
Meaning, I will agree
because
with
school, a lot of school is just memorization.
Yes,
you know,
which I sucked.
Which you don't really
dude,
need.
Dude, I just want the same intensity when your child becomes these ages. I just want that.
I mean, I'll tell it to him straight how it is. It's
beautiful.
Totally true.
Fantastic.
Hey, Cage, maybe work on your 3-point shooting and reading defenses and your short game.
But
and
not the.
But memorizing what happened in the War of 1812 doesn't matter.
He's got a point.
By the way, that should scare you. That your opinion on education, he agrees.
No, Del Tufo is the man I want. Why, your sister was like the head of education.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Back here in the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. For those of you who missed what we had to say on the Roku channel, you missed nothing. I disagree with everything that was just said on the Roku channel. And I apologize to the audience for
having
heard that.
Hey, Rich, what's the Volstead Act?
Oh, I don't remember it.
Exactly. Because it's memorization from high school.
Oh, my God, this guy. Alan Dallas. How you doing, Albert? What's going on?
First and foremost, congratulations on the Marconi Award.
Thank you, sir.
Chris, do you know who the Marconi Award is named after?
It's the guy who invented radio.
There you go. You learned that.
It's a paisan, Al.
Did you learn
there
that at school?
Go.
No, absolutely not.
Chris Brockman.
Hey.
He just Wikipedia'd it.
No, he didn't.
No, I'm looking up the Volstead Act.
Okay.
Marconi. I mean, that's an elite.
I am honored, sir. I'm honored.
That, you know, my Don Imus days, WNBC.
That's right.
Listen to him and all that stuff. That's great stuff. Richard, you don't think that Michigan's got a monopoly on this type of behavior, do you?
I don't know, man. I don't know. And I don't know if Michigan...
I'm going to set you straight. No.
Okay.
College coaches don't come up with original thoughts, man. They all learn this type of stuff from other people. And I bet that there's programs across this great nation scrambling to cover up their tracks in this type of stuff. So, you know, like, it's stupid, but... You know, he's going to have the program's going to pay the price for this because this is almost like the Belichick behavior. You know, like they don't like that type of stuff. And unfortunately, hopefully they win a national championship this year for your sake.
That's the only answer right now, because Michigan cannot respond. Harbaugh put out a statement in there, you know, and they're on a bye this week, Al. So they don't play this week. So there's no meeting with the media this week. It's like perfectly timed for them to be away from many microphones. Some players spoke. But and again, thanks for the call, Al. I appreciate it and the kudos here. Call me naive. You can call me naive, whatever. But, you know, Jim does talk about being a Michigan man and doing everything on the up and up. And, you know, so I – I believe him. I will trust in what he is saying until I get concrete evidence to the otherwise. And I know you could say all these reports are concrete evidence. Fine. At this point in time, like I said, I'm just shooting you straight. We are all a Michigan Wolverine nation that at least I know of. It's a therapy session every time we get together. And just when they start playing games, they just got to beat the crap out of everybody because they have this guy's gone and the system is gone. And if you're still using your same hand signals again, forget about us. It's anybody else. You know, anybody else. So what else? What else can I tell you? Somehow, some way I got this through security.
Yeah, can you explain that? Because, you know, when you go over there and you kind of touch it, the point on that is pretty sharp.
It is.
That doesn't really, you know,
it's heavy.
It could be used as TSA boxes. Yeah. Like, what's going on
there? That's the thing on the movie someone would use to.
I don't know. I just don't know if it's because it's clear or whatever. I put it in my bag, went through, and I just, you know, gave the guy, I gave the head nod to the person who was looking at the material. Went right through.
Question.
Really?
Now, I'm not going
to. They stopped somebody in front of me. And somebody after me.
Did you see what they got stopped for?
Yeah, one was like some dude had razor blades in his dob kit.
Wow.
What are we?
The question, I
don't
know.
It's just like, hey, really? Okay. I'm like, all I got is a Marconi. Okay.
Wow.
Like real razor blades.
All I know is as I was leaving,
what are we doing?
Somebody behind me was cursing as their bag got removed.
That's the worst.
I hate that.
And then as I was leaving, I saw the guy in front of me say, yeah, the razor blades are right there. At which point, I'm like, it's 4 a.m. I got to get to the gate.
Yeah. Get me out of here.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I stayed awake waiting to board the plane because, as you know, I love boarding
first
thing. Yeah, watching Seinfeld bloopers on my Instagram account.
Oh, Frank Costanza?
All of them. Just fantastic. So that's my morning. And then I sat right down here at 8:59:50
yep.
Pacific time.
Well done.
And here I am. Bill Cowher, I could see he's on with Pat right now. He's making rounds. You know, he's on the show Icons that I voice here. You watch me voice into this microphone.
Yes.
That's right. Where I do this. Mike's very kind enough to stay after class.
No, and he's gone.
On MGM Plus, by the way.
Technical weeds here. He's gone full blurry background,
yeah,
so it's literally just him.
Do we like
it? Not the pleasant New York City background that you had yesterday. He's just full blurry.
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't want you to let you know where he is. I didn't mind letting you know where I was.
Where could he be?
I have no idea.
He's got
in his house.
Yeah. He doesn't want to show you the background.
Do you want me to demand he unblurs
I kind of want unblurred.
Yeah. Is going on a Zoom with a blurry background similar to when you call in going full speakerphone?
Is that a similar thing? I think it's a little disrespectful.
Is it?
Yeah, we want to see what's back. He's probably got a cool background.
I don't know.
Right?
He could be in a hotel room, too. I mean, Schefter does his Zooms with a hotel room and an unmade bed behind him and the ceiling. I got to call Schefter. I got to call Adam and say, Adam, we got to up your Zoom game, bud. You're only on like a million shows.
Adam.
All right. A messy bed this
hour
week.
Number two coming up. Got to call him up.
It's like at least cover, put the covers and move the pillows.
The CEO and co-founder of Smack Entertainment, Constance Schwartz Marini, is in our green room right now.
Let's
excited.
Go. That's gonna be awesome.
We have we go way back like a car seat. We do. Did we get to the airport together? We shared a car ride to the airport together. Or no, it was in Canton. I think we came back from one of those. Could have been Dion's.
Dion and
his
Marshall?
Party.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, Dion and Marshall had their
together.
Right. Dion had Nelly and Prime had Snoop.
It was crazy.
Under the same tent in Canton, Ohio.
Insane.
That was a nuts.
It was insane.
Hall of Fame party.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
I got in trouble because I ran out.
What do you mean you got in trouble?
Because we were supposed to do like a post-show thing, and I'm like, I ran over to the party. I'm like, oh, my God, I got to go to the party.
You left your post?
Oh, yeah.
In the truck?
Oh, yeah.
For NFL Network?
To go to the party?
Yeah.
To go to the party.
And I got yelled at.
Yep.
Well, you should get yelled at for that.
By the way, we were done. We were off the air, Rich. It was done.
Like, why would they yell at you?
Because it was like,
why would they yell at you, Mike?
I got yelled at a lot.
Mike,
in my life,
why would they be upset with you?
Because I left early. Like they wanted me to like do work, like and strike some stuff. I'm like, I'm going to the party. It's my boys.
Mike.
Marshall and Dion are my boys.
You don't ask Mike Del Tufo to strike anything.
No, we're going.
Mike Del Tufo doesn't strike.
Yeah. He's not scared.
No, he walks out. You strike. He walks.
I won.
We all know that.